Next, we'll turn it over to the coaches competing in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. We'll start with Coach Peterson. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us. The rookie up here, so I'm just kind of eyes wide open, kind of echoing what they say, what they do. But on behalf of the Pac-12 and University of Washington, we're so thrilled to have an opportunity. Unbelievable challenge playing this great Alabama team and program. But we are so excited, very appreciative of our administration, our players, our coaches, to have an opportunity to get here. Thank you.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D.A. and Jake. Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We got them on the line all the way from the Pacific Northwest. BT from the Dog Pod joins us to talk Washington Huskies and Pac-12 football. Welcome to the podcast, BT.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys. I'm always down to talk Husky football.
And ladies and gentlemen, he's got an Ohio tie. Even better, he's got an Ohio wife. So the guy is a pretty smart gentleman when it comes to making selections. So we're happy to get your intelligence here on college football, man.
That is right, man. I've picked up a lot of the teams out there. I follow the Buckeyes, as my Big Ten team. Follow the Indians a bit, and then picked up by the Cavs, which was easy for us as the Sonics left Seattle, so they've become my NBA team. But I follow all those Ohio teams.
Well, people think the Cavs are going to move to Seattle right now after an arena renovation deal fell through. But you guys got another reason to root now, because that Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade is actually official. So, you know what
that's
I mean?
Right. That's another thing. I'd love to see more IT. He's just one of the most electric basketball players, and had one of the most amazing moments of the overtime three-pointer to beat Arizona for the Pac-12 championship. That will go down in Husky history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Husky basketball moment.
All right. Now, you guys cover everything Huskies now. You guys kind of recalibrated your podcast and got a laser-like focus on that. Tell us about that and what listeners can expect when they tune in.
Yeah, we do. So, 7 years ago, we started a Pac-12 podcast called the Ultimate Pac-12 Podcast. It was the first one that existed. We were the only one for about 3 or 4 years, and a few other good ones have come along. And last year we kind of decided, and frankly, just covering all 12 teams, it's a lot of work. And we decided to get laser focused. We're all Washington alums, the three of us. So me, Mitch, and Law Dog, we're all three Husky alums. So we decided just to get laser focused on the Huskies. But we still do Pac-12 Game of the Week. We covered UCLA, Texas A&M last week. We still do picks. We just don't go deep on every single game like we used to. So the focus is the Huskies.
Great stuff, Chris. And where can people find that at, man? Drop the social media links here on the front end.
Yep.
I always like to do that just in case people want to follow along, kind of like they're listening to
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're on Twitter at DogPod, Facebook at DogPod, and then you can find us on iTunes and Google Play at DogPod Podcast.
Now, we almost started a Browns podcast. Me and Jake did called the Dog Pod, man, to talk about Danny Shelton
Right?
and all his stuff did for the Browns. So, you know what I mean? It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, Well,
we saw it was taken, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, we're just joking with you, man. We're just joking with you. Let's get to what's important, man, college football, man. Chris Peterson, man, he really impressed me last year the way he handled the media with the all shucks routine. It was like he was channeling a little Billy Bob Thornton. But have you guys up there gotten over the loss yet from the college football playoff, or do you feel like, he kind of delivered early with the talent and everything, just getting that team to that level?
Yeah, I think that most people thought that this year was going to be our year, and that last year maybe we did get there a bit early, though I think that team was incredible looking back on it and definitely deserved to be in the college football playoff. And frankly, with that loss, look, it was Alabama. They were so heavily favored. And looking back at Jake Browning's throwing shoulder, I think really hurt him. We lost some key defensive linemen and had people subbing in at different places on the offensive line and tackle that we just got crushed in that run game. Couldn't stop Scarborough. It was tough. But at the same time, look, I think it was most Husky fans thought it was going to be a long shot for us to beat Alabama. And people were just so pleased to get back to where the team had been. If you look back to 2000 national championship in 1991, it's been a long time. So, this Husky Nation, when you walk around at the tailgates, it's just all smiles. People are so pleased.
So you got a very experienced team here in Washington. I think it's the most experienced in the Pac-12, and it's led by Jake Browning, of course, as he comes back to lead this team. How good is Jake Browning, and ultimately, where does he stack up in the country amongst the quarterbacks and the Heisman candidates?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be tough for him to get some Heisman love. He got a little bit of it last year, and then it really petered out after the USC loss, and then everyone kind of just started talking about Sam Darnold, and that's what everyone has penciled in right now. I think the tough thing for Browning is that, unfortunately, people and voters, I think, equate NFL prospect with Heisman, and you look at Jake Browning, I think he has the potential to be like a Russell Wilson, not in terms of being a dual threat, but from a size perspective to go out and surprise some people in the NFL, but he doesn't have that prototype size that a Sam Darnold does that everyone is talking about, you know, being a first rounder, you know, that he's going to go play to the Jets next year. And I think people just equate those two things, and for me, it doesn't necessarily mean the best player in college football. I think those can be different things. If he goes out and dominates, if his shoulder is healthy, and if he gets a chance to pass the ball enough, I mean, if you look at the Pac-12 championship, I mean, he didn't show anyone anything because we just ran the ball, it was the entire game. So if he gets a chance to show some people some things, I could see some talk happening, particularly if they're able to beat Stanford and some of those tougher teams, but I think it's going to be hard for him to get into the conversation for the Heisman. And people just love him here. I think, such a prototypical great college quarterback who is going to stick around three, maybe all 4 years because of that size, which is the nice thing that you get when you get a player of his stature. But we'll see. Until Darnold makes a few mistakes, it's going to be all Sam Darnold.
No, and we can kind of relate to that with JT Barrett. I mean,
yep.
It's the same boat. A really electric player, a great college player that'll probably never make it in the pros. But, you never know. As long as you keep running the table up there, you guys may end up having somebody in New York that played quarterback for you. So the Huskies, anyway, they've been – I think the Pac-12 is such a balanced conference at times, and the one thing that most teams don't do is play a lot of defense. But Washington does play some defense. I know you guys lost a couple linebackers last year that kind of hurt you. The D-line is pretty good this year. What can we expect from the Huskies on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about our defense this year. I mean, so, we run a 3-5-3. A lot of colleges do that because it's tough to get five solid, down linemen, though we pull up a lot of the linebackers and it looks like a five anyway. You look at those front three, Vita Vea, Greg Gaines, and Jalen Johnson. I'll put Vita Vea and Greg Gaines against any two in the country. And I think Jalen Johnson is a great third. Vita Vea is critical because he plays that. That nose tackle position that, like, Danny Shelton, who went to the Browns, played, and that's a critical defensive position in Peterson's defense. Those guys are going to be great. If any of them go down, I'm a little bit concerned. We do have some decent backups, Levi Simpo Bowman, a couple guys that could step in, but if I'm a little bit worried about the depth there. And the linebackers, Joe Mathis, Saul Mucheng, those guys were just incredible and both gone. But we have Keyshawn Bieria. And I don't know if you saw Azeem Victor, who probably could have gone to the NFL last year, just a total stud coming back. Everyone's surprised by coming back. He's suspended for this first game against Rutgers, and Peterson won't go into why. Luckily it's against Rutgers and it's not against, Stanford or, an Oregon or a tougher team. But he isn't playing in this first game. But, I think that's tough. But I think we do have some decent linebackers. Big losses in the secondary, too. Buda Baker, Sidney Jones, Kevin King, all leaving for the NFL. And, I think that's why if you look at people that do real cursory analysis of the Huskies, and, that's kind of national pundits are going to do. I think they look at who got drafted and they go, oh, the defense must have fallen apart. If they have three first and second rounders, the defense must be horrible. But I'm not concerned about our secondary. Taylor Rapp, he was a defensive player of the Pac-12 championship, showed really well against Alabama. JoJo McIntosh, Elijah Molden, those guys are going to be really strong at defensive backs. Austin Joyner, I was really excited about him. He's suspended for the first two games. And Peterson doesn't talk about why that is, but he'll be out. Fortunately, again, it's Rutgers and Montana that he's missing, so shouldn't really affect us. But, again, in that secondary, I'm not that concerned about it. I really like the guys that are coming back. They're young. I like our linebackers, a little bit concerned about the depth on that defensive line, but I think we're going to have a really solid defense that ultimately from a numeric perspective could end up putting up the same numbers statistically that we did last year.
And so often you see that the schedule ends up being a big part of whether a really good team ends up in the playoffs or not in the playoffs. Now, if you escape that Friday night in Piscataway, then after that, it kind of lines up till the second half. And then you get a little bit more tested, but you get UCLA and Oregon at home. You only have to go to Stanford. You dodge USC from the other side. Talk about that a little bit, and where do you see the biggest challenge being for to navigate this schedule?
Yeah, it's tough not having that marquee win, and I mean, I've gotten to a point where I can't watch college football live because whenever they say Washington, the weak schedule. And the frustrating thing is that we were supposed to have a home-and-home with Wisconsin this year. We were supposed to be playing in Madison, and they pulled out of it. You know, so we slotted in Rutgers, and at that time they weren't that bad. But it's really tough of, like, you've got these great home-and-homes, and they back out, and then you're lost there looking like you know, the patsy schedule. So it's kind of tough in that sense, but it does lead for – look, I think, you know, either any of the Pac-12 teams could probably lose a single game and win the Pac-12 championship if, as everyone predicts, it is going to be either Stanford or Washington against a USC, and I think that either one of them, maybe as a one-loss team, probably still could get through. It's just how things work out. But ours is really back-heavy, and USC's is really front-heavy. So you look at, you know, we start out with a handful of patsies. We do two road shows a year as a podcast. This first one this weekend will be at Beer Park at the Paris in Las Vegas. If anyone is out there, you'll see about 30 Huskies out there watching the game. And then we travel to Boulder. We broadcast live from Boulder with another Buffalo podcast. So we'll be there. But after that, you know, Oregon's going to be challenging. We get Utah, UCLA at home. And then the big one is November 10th at Stanford. That one's going to be tough, though. I don't know if you guys have been to a game at Stanford, but, look, travel always hurts. Nobody likes to travel. But that fan base is so silent in the stands. And, I mean, I joke, but, like, if you get too loud, they'll say, hey, you know, we're trying to enjoy the game. Can you please sit down? The fans are so quiet. And it's just really not much of a home field advantage at all, you know, versus going into Eugene, you know, and other places that get really loud. But, you know, you're traveling on a Friday night. We'll see how they – I mean, gosh, they looked amazing against Rice. Yes, it's Rice, but they definitely look like they didn't take a step back. You know, if I were to predict, I hate – somebody's going to – I can't see us going undefeated. Somebody's going to pick us off if it's not at Stanford. You know, Utah looks good. UCLA looks good. Oregon always plays us tough. You know, it's just going to be tough. I mean, same thing for the Buckeyes, right? It's just hard to get through that schedule unfazed, even if you don't have a big marquee opponent in your non-conference.
Oh, no, that's the stadium's always silent up north, you know, in Ann Arbor, man, when the Buckeyes leave there. So,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have those issues around these parts here, BT, man. I'll tell you like this, brother. We feel like the Buckeyes are going to march through all the way to Indianapolis and then through, you know what I'm saying, January, and hopefully be bringing a trophy back to Columbus. So, I mean, Buckeye Nation is rabid about that right now. We don't feel like there's anybody really on this schedule, especially the way this one lines up this season. So.
You're probably the same way. Like, you look at it, and we should be, and unless we have a hiccup, we'll be favored in every game. You know, and you should be, and the Buckeyes should be for the entire season. It's just that, like, you know, is there some crazy slip-up in one night, and, you know, how can they still get through? But, you know, I think there's a reason the Buckeyes are penciled in, and they should be. They just have to go execute.
Let's take a look at the other side of the Pac-12. How do you feel that's going to shake out? I mean, the Pac-12 South, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, everybody's talking about USC like Pete Carroll's back there coaching or something.
No, you know, they're kind of like that, though. It doesn't take much juice to get the whole national media that's saying that USC should be penciled into the championship or they're a BCS team back in the day. It just doesn't take much where – you know, I think if you are a Stanford or a Utah or even a Washington now, it takes a lot of juice. You really have to perform for a couple of years for people to start talking about you. USC just doesn't have that. I don't think this is going to be like the 2012 Matt Barkley, you know, Lane Kiffin led, they're number one and they finished unranked. I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I look at their schedule and you look at Texas and Notre Dame and, you know, and I think they play some tough opponents in the South. It's going to be tough for them to come out unscathed. I would be shocked if they went into the Pac-12 championship undefeated. You know, besides them, I'm not buying UCLA this year. Everyone has them penciled into the second in the South. I think they're still going to struggle on defense. I don't know how they get that running game going. It was horrific last year. I think Utah is going to be scary this year. I have them penciled in as my second team, and then again, Colorado or UCLA battling out for the third spot. The Zona teams are going to struggle this year. Both of those coaches are really coaching for their life. Todd Graham, Rich Rod, which is wild because they were just the darling of the coaching circuit in the South when Arizona went to the Pac-12 championship. But I think, they're really going to struggle if you look at what they bring to the table, particularly from a defensive perspective, and they just have really struggled in recruiting. But, look, this is USC's to lose. And frankly, there's nothing I would like more than playing USC in the Pac-12 championship. We traveled down for that game last year. It's not the greatest setting. They don't fill that stadium out very well for whatever reason. It isn't that well attended. But, I would love it to end up being Washington versus USC. Because again, if one team's undefeated, one team's one loss, vice versa, you're probably playing for a ticket to the CFP.
How long is that Pac-12 championship locked in Levi Stadium?
It's a good question. I think they still have a couple of more years, but what a lot of us would like to see is that it just starts rotating. And I wouldn't mind that. Look, even if you say, Bay Area once, Washington area once, LA area once, or even go to I wouldn't mind if it rotated every 12 stadiums and it was in Corvallis one year. Let's just get to a place where some people actually show up. The tough thing about the Bay Area is that, again, the Stanford fans don't show up, so they're not going to go watch a game that they're not playing in, and not many of them are going to show up even if they are playing in it. It's a tough stadium to get to. It's not in San Francisco. It's down in the Silicon Valley area. So to think about burning some vacation days and what you're going to do afterwards, a lot of people do end up just skipping it. I couldn't believe how cheap tickets were walking in. And it was a decent draw. And I think it's not just because it's Washington and Colorado. It has been like that for every team. And I don't know if there's any Pac-12 teams that are going to draw more. Tough to fill that NFL stadium and make it loud.
Hey, man, those Warriors fans are too busy getting ready for the NBA season to, I guess, to enjoy a college football game. These great sports fans in the Bay Area,
That's right. Yeah.
All right, man, let's get some predictions. We got the weekend action coming up. Jake already mentioned it. You got Chris Ash. You guys are making the trip to play Rutgers now. What can we expect, man? Are you guys ready to get snake bitten on week one?
Yeah, I mean, because we're in Vegas, we're staying at the MGM.
Man, we're just joking with you, man. We know Washington's going to roll Rutgers, man. We have no respect for them. Yeah, I mean, programs shouldn't even be in the Big Ten. I don't want you to take that question serious, bro.
Rutgers had their little run, 10 years ago?
Greg Schiano was there then. What I mean? He's now coaching for the Buckeyes. That's another reason we feel real comfortable about what's going on in Columbus. So.
Oh, that's right. It's tough. I would agree. I think it was sort of a head scratcher for me that they did get the nod to join the conference and a big win for them. But, they were horrific last year in Husky Stadium. And I know they have a new quarterback, but he's a real pocket passer with not a lot of mobility. And our defense is built for that. We struggle with running quarterbacks with dual threat, but pocket passers will tee up on him. I can't believe the line's coming down. I mean, I get the suspension, Azeem Victor, but the line started at 33. It's moved down to 27.5. I'm just absolutely shocked at that. I hate to tell anyone what to do, but that's something I felt good about once it dipped below 32.
Yeah, I think people are just excited that John Ross is running around Ohio, so the Rutgers fans are, putting a little money in there,
That's right, yeah. And that's another thing, too. There's so much talk on the wide receiver side about the loss of John Ross. He was incredible and electric, but, we feel pretty good with who's stepping in, Dante Pettis and Chico McClatcher. I think we'll be fine. We'll be fine there as well, particularly against Rutgers. I'm not that concerned about this game.
All right. Literally, we didn't need to spend that much time. The Rutgers fans are going to go nuts because nobody ever talks that much about them. Ohio State, Indiana kicks off the schedule, man. We want to get your pick for that one. What do you think happens there?
I was surprised the line was so low. What did it settle at? Because I thought once it was in the mid-20s.
Yeah, it's at 20.5 right now. 20.5, depends which shop you're at.
Yeah, I was a little surprised with that. I just felt like it would be a little bit higher. I think you're in a position now where you can't um, you can't take your foot off the gas. You've got to put up numbers, and even against a conference opponent, it's Indiana. I mean, that surprised me. I would expect it to be high 20s, if not in the 30s, and that's something that will probably make it into our parlay this weekend on the Buckeyes.
Nope. Don't forget, you got the Kevin Wilson factor too. The Revenge is our new offensive coordinator with Indiana, so.
And you always think about that, like what institutional knowledge they bring forward and able to share to help out with, like, from a game plan perspective. But I just think they're going to roll. I mean, I get it's still a conference game. I think they're going to roll, and I'm surprised the line is so low.
All right, let's get to Florida versus the team up north. That's what we call hairballs, boys up there in Ann Arbor. He just finally released the rosters. God bless him. You know, like, I guess the Pope called him and said, hey, man, why don't you let the people know who's playing come, you know, this weekend. My goodness. But what do you think about that one?
He is such a punk. I mean, you're not going to find anyone from Washington that has any love lost for that guy from all the crap that he pulled when he was at Stanford.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even make that connection. That's right.
There's absolutely none at all. And even from a Seahawks, like 49ers perspective, like there's just absolutely no love loss for that guy. We do have a home and home against Michigan before we have that home and home against Ohio State. So I think a lot of us will make that trip out to the Big House. We remember back in the day in our national championship years, when we beat Michigan for the national championship and played them a few times in the Rose Bowl. And so like that's a team that, you know, we'd love to go see. I don't know. I mean, you've got a lesser of two evils rooting for Florida or Michigan State, but I'll root against anybody to beat Harbaugh.
And then we got the big one, you know, UCLA going into Texas A&M. I mean, you think Jim Moore is on a hot seat at all, even if they don't have a good season? Because people are saying, we talked to Stingray from down there in the SEC and Feinbaum fame, man. They're saying Kevin Sumlin's on a hot seat, depending on how this game goes.
Someone is as well. We covered this as our Pac-12 game of the week. It's, you know, surprise, surprise, it's not Rutgers UW. The most exciting game in the Pac-12 is A&M and UCLA rematch from last year. That game that went down to overtime. And really, I mean, I think just the wheels fell off the train for UCLA. Things kind of went downhill from there. Moore is definitely this season all up is playing for his job, and I think he needs a 7-8, maybe, you know, I don't know if 7 saves his win. He breaks his job. He probably needs an 8-9 win season to keep it. They're just, you know, for how well those guys recruit at UCLA every year in, year out, and what they do with that talent, which is minimal, look, it's tough. And I don't know, maybe Moore caught lightning in a bottle when he was the hottest coaching prospect around, and maybe, I don't know if there's anything there. I definitely will be cheering for them. I mean, I want to see the Pac-12 team get that win, particularly against an SEC school. And like, they're sort of, you know, the same, like UCLA is third in the South. A&M is about third in the West. So, you know, head to head, this is Pac-12 versus SEC. I don't even know who the quarterback's going to be for A&M if they've released that. I think
they have not.
Stuff to figure out. Yeah. And they lost those two tackles have gone to the NFL. Like, I think it's going to be tough, but I just don't know what to think about UCLA. This one, from a betting perspective, is a stay away from me, but I'll be cheering for UCLA.
Yeah, you got to realize, too, the SEC, I mean, Texas A&M is in the SEC until, you know, Texas A&M gets 6 losses, and then, you know, they're still that team that came from, you know, the Big 12, so during the second half of the season. That's the way those people argue from that perspective.
Yep.
The big one, where are you guys? Where's BT? Where are you in the dog pot putting the money at for Alabama, Florida State?
Ooh, this is going to be a tough one. So the last time I looked at the line, it was about 5.5 or 6. Have you guys seen where it settled at?
It's 7 everywhere. Westgate's at 7, so I'll go with the Westgate number at 7.
I hate that it's 7. I like it
around
5.5 or 6, but, you know, it's tough to bet against Bama. And I don't know. I know a lot of people are picking Florida State from the ACC, but – it's so hard to bet against Bama. They get up for these games. I think it's more likely that they get picked off by somebody in the SEC for a single loss before they go into the SEC championship. But it's hard, man. If I could get that thing at 6.5, I'd probably take Bama. If it floats up to 7.5 by the time I get there on Friday, I don't know. I might stay away from it. But it's just so hard to bet against those guys.
Yeah, Saban and the boys down there with the Crimson Tide might stumble against that FCS team before the Iron Bowl. You never know. So
I can see that. You know, I mean, I think back to our game against them in the CFP. You know, we started one of our right tackle went out. We started a guy, Nick Harris, is coming back. And I think the first play from scrimmage, and Tomlinson ran into him, and it was like, wow, it is a man playing with a kid who's about a sophomore, junior in high school. You know, and the size that those guys put out there, it's just really difficult the way that they recruit those positions, how much they dominate the line. It's just really tough to compete with. And, you know, obviously we've shown that a lot of people can. I mean, Clemson had a great team last year, and someone else might pick them off, but I'd have a hard time betting against them this year, particularly in this opener against Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about that, too, though, like Saban has, you know, shifted his philosophy and started recruiting faster guys to keep up, you know, especially on defense. So it's real interesting to see him even, you know. I think that speaks to his coaching, actually, to being able to adapt over time. You know, I mean, you guys held yourself way better than the Buckeyes did. You actually scored a touchdown. So, you know what I mean? It was that. So,
yeah, it started off really well. I mean, boy, that first touchdown that we scored, I just about got kicked out of the bar that I was at. I lost my mind. I was on vacation in Hawaii watching it at a beach bar. And I mean, I just couldn't believe. I thought, wow, is it going to go this way? And then that next offensive series, and then throwing the pick six, you can't do that. I mean, you do that against Alabama, you're done. You have to pretty much play mistake-free football to stay with them.
Well, I think that experience is going to serve, I mean, Jake Browning well, though, coming back. That's why, you know, we really wanted to talk to you guys, we really wanted to talk to you, BT, because I just think Washington, you know, even that schedule is daunting, man, at the second half of it. I think that guy, if he makes that next step, you know, and that experience, you know, kicks in, I mean, it doesn't get much, you know, tested, you know, than going against Bama in the college football playoff.
I think it really will serve him as well. And, you know, provide he had that shoulder surgery, he's healthy now. I think that great things could come. We're really excited about it. But we're also excited to have the home and home with Ohio State and hosting you guys. Definitely let's keep in touch as we get closer. If you guys decide to make the trip out to Seattle, definitely stop by our tailgate, and we can kind of show you how the locals do it in the Seattle area.
Yeah, we got a good friend of ours actually lives out in Seattle. So he's got a little group going out there and everything. So we probably will make that trip out there, actually. That's pretty awesome. BT, we want to thank you for joining the podcast, man. Jake, you got anything else you want to slide in there?
No, I was going to say, that's actually one of the one stadiums in the country that I would love to see a game in. Just how loud that place gets and the enthusiasm. Husky Stadium is definitely up there in college football.
I was ecstatic when they scheduled that home and home, and I'll definitely, I will definitely be out there. I'll make the trip out to Columbus. So let's definitely keep in touch as we get closer to those games for sure.
Yeah, it's a different animal in Columbus, man. You know, you got to put your tough skin on, because you know these Buckeye fans get a little rabid. You know, some of them can be a little classless. So that's just being honest.
Duck fans have prepared us well. There's no like that. So we're very well prepared.
All right, BT, we're going to get you out of here on this one, man. Drop the social media links again, and anybody you want to give a shout out to, Law Dog and everybody, and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, thanks. Come check us out, Mitch BT and Law Dog, out at the Dog Pod. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Twitter at Dog Pod, Facebook at Dog Pod. Just love talking Husky football. So thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for your time, and go Huskies, man. Purple Rain.
All right, thanks. Go Dogs. Appreciate it.
Jake, a lot to digest from the multiple guests we had, from Stingway and Hail State to, you know, Andrew Miller breaking down both the ACC and the Big 12, the Huskies' perspective, so the Dog Pod. And, of course, we went behind enemy lines to Central Pennsylvania to talk to Bill DeFilippo. There's one consensus thought, Jake. Everybody likes the Buckeyes.
Especially against Indiana. Which is nice.
That's the most important thing, starting Thursday off with a win. You are correct, sir.
That's right. You got to get the first one first. It's great. I mean, we've got our opinions and our kind of outsider looks at some of these teams and conferences. And to be able to get some guys that are actually covering that conference on, look at us. We've got real experts coming on the show.
Still got more college football to talk about, of course, with us, too.
Yeah, and the most important thing is this Thursday, getting off to that good start. Kevin Wilson's revenge up in Bloomington. Game day is going to be there. Another Buckeye season about to start. Let's go get another damn championship.
Yeah, no sleep for 48 hours. When you hear that sound, that means it's too late. The Buckeyes are already there. You can give us a like on Facebook. You know we're going crazy about college football. You know we're going crazy on Twitter at With an Ohio Bias. You can find this podcast in the iTunes store, also on Google Play where podcasts are found, and, of course, on the Stitcher app. And even when you're stuck, you know, tailgating for the Oklahoma game on 315, you can be listening to us on the Apple AirPlay through the Stitcher app. So a lot of ways to listen to us. And always, you can download an MP3. Just click the player on the withanohiobias.com site. Jake, you guys are going to be doing coverage day in, day out, 24/7 over on scoringair.com. What can people expect?
Yeah, actually, we'll have a special live broadcast from Football Bourbon and Brew at the Walrus here in Columbus. We got invited to join up with 97.1 The Fan down here, and so we are going to Football Bourbon and Brew, and you can check it out by going to scoreonair.com. That'll be Thursday, game day, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We'll be on the air. Check that out. We got a new college football show starting tomorrow. Well, it'll be Wednesdays from 4 to 6. And then the pro football shows right after it from 6 to 8. So a lot of football on Wednesday nights over at the Score. Make sure you're tuning in, scoreonair.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get excited. College football is here, tangible. You'll see the tweets coming live and hot at With an Ohio Bias. There's no sleep till kickoff Thursday night, Ohio State versus Indiana. As always, go Bucks. OH.
Iowa.